This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Number two of Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, and of course, your smart speaker. He is Bart Scott. I am Michael Lees filling in for Alan Hahn. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the NFL leading us off here. Hour number two, a third civil lawsuit filed against Deshaun Watson accuses the Texans quarterback of sexually assaulting a massage therapist by allegedly forcing her to have oral sex with him in December 2020. The lawsuit was filed by Houston attorney Tony Busby on Wednesday evening. This is the third civil suit filed against Watson this week. The previous two lawsuits were related to two separate incidents during which he is accused of committing civil assault by touching a massage therapist with his penis. Busby said on Instagram Wednesday evening that there are six total cases against Watson. So far, only three lawsuits have been filed. Joining us now on the Goodyear Hotline is Damian Woody. And Damian, this conversation has clearly got more and more attention as we've gotten deeper into the week. I know you've already been discussing it earlier today on television on ESPN. What do you make of the whole issue here in terms of the lawsuits, Deshaun Watson, and everything that's going on with the Texans organization?
Well, listen, I think it's these accusations are deeply disturbing. It just seems like with every day passing, there's another person that comes forward with accusations against Deshaun Watson. And but I would like to make a couple points here. Number one, these are civil accusations, not criminal. I think that's very important to make that distinction. Number one, and then number two, I think it's really important for us to let the process play itself out. And we've all, as we've been covering Deshaun Watson, not only have we talked about, his brilliance on the field, but his impeccable character off the field. And the one thing I always say to everyone is, at the end of the day, you can take away football, money, all those type of things. The only thing you have left is your name. And I think Deshaun Watson and everyone involved deserves due process, and everyone needs to let the process play itself out.
Now, on the football side of that, we understand that Deshaun Watson is trying to seek a trade. Do you see this? Because we know that sometimes the judicial system works on its own timing and schedule, not on the schedule of the NFL free agency and draft. If you're a team, do you see teams kind of bowing out, or a team, waiting the process out and saying, I'm going to take a risk and trade for the player regardless before we even have a conclusion to the investigation?
Well, I think, I think, Barton, you know this as well as I do. There's a lot of, depending on what type of player you are, there's a lot of grace that's given. And we're talking about a superstar quarterback that's in his mid-20s, basically just hitting his prime. So I think a lot of these teams are still going to press forward. They're going to do their due diligence on this, make no mistake about it. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, if you make a move like this, you got to be accountable, to everyone. I'm sure the owners want to feel comfortable making that type of move. But again, we're talking about a superstar quarterback, a top five quarterback that potentially is available in a trade. That just doesn't happen very often in the National Football League. So I think teams are going to still push forward and do their due diligence on this matter.
Damian Woody joining us here on Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. Michael Lee's in for Alan Hahn today. Damian, we were talking about the wide receiver position and some of the names that haven't landed with certain teams as of yet, a couple that have. But one interesting potential hookup is Juju Smith-Schuster and your former squad, the New York Jets. What do you see in terms of how that marriage could impact that team's pursuit of some much-needed immediate success?
Well, listen, I think the Jets need to be – they're in the business of acquiring more talent. Anyone who's watched the Jets play can tell you they have one of the worst rosters in the National Football League, particularly on the offensive side of football. So we've seen them start to acquire talent. Obviously, signing Corey Davis from the Tennessee Titans in free agency. And they drafted Denzel Mims in the second round last year out of Baylor. They have Jamison Crowder, who's a terrific slot receiver. But listen, regardless of what's going on, what's going to happen with Sam Darnold or whether the Jets take, you know, Zach Wilson at number two. They need to be in the business of acquiring talent. And Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy that's been highly productive with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's young. To me, it just seems like a good fit, particularly in this New York market.
Now, we saw, you know, your former uncle or whatever you want to call it, Bill Belichick, spending money like Brewster's Millions. What's going on? What's going on out there? Do you think that they're back? Are they back? Have they made a statement with how much money Bill has spent? $137 million in one day.
Well, Bart, you know, when we talk about is New England back, it's a different, you know, that's different from everybody else, because when someone asks me is New England back, that means are they Super Bowl contenders? And I would say no. Even with all the moves that they've made in free agency, I don't see them being better than the Buffalo Bills. Are they better than when they were, you know, at the beginning of free agency? Absolutely. But I think all these moves also were an indictment on the construction of this roster, the void in talent on that New England roster, primarily from you know, drafting bad. So they've had to spend a lot of money in free agency to get that roster up to par. But to me, it's still the Buffalo Bills are the team to beat in the AFC East.
Yeah, the Patriots have not missed the playoffs in two consecutive years since Bill Belichick has been the head coach. The last time it happened was 1999 and 2000. It was Pete Carroll's last year and Bill Belichick's first year. So you know that Belichick is not trying to miss the playoffs again this year. But to Damian's point, are they good enough to even win their own division based on the jump we saw from the Bills last season? That's still yet to be determined. But when you talk about the Patriots being back, that means continuing for the Super Bowl. And Damian, as we look to last year with the Bucs and the Chiefs, both of those teams have already made additions to their squad, or at least bolstered some things relative to bringing some players back in the case of Tampa Bay to look forward to next year. Which team do you believe has done the best of getting prepared for their next run to the Super Bowl, the Bucs or the Chiefs?
I think the Bucs. I think the Bucs, by the fact of just bringing everybody back.
All right, so wait. I'm going to stop you, and I shouldn't do this because you're the expert. Correct me if I'm wrong. The thing that determined the outcome of that game was that Tom Brady was protected and Patrick Mahomes was not. And the first thing the Chiefs did was add to that offensive line. If those things were equal last year, do you really think the Bucs still would have won that game?
No, here's what I'm going to say.
Okay,
here,
then.
Here's what I'm going to say.
All right.
The fact that the Buccaneers are bringing everybody back, all the guys that were responsible for winning that Super Bowl, they're coming back. And here's another aspect.
But does it make them better, though? It doesn't make them better. It makes them as good as they were. The Chiefs are better now, right?
Who knows? We don't know. We don't know if the Chiefs are better. But here's what I'm gonna say about the Bucs. You got a whole unit coming back. Remember, They brought over a new quarterback in Tom Brady, new system. They got had other new players, no offseason, and they won a Super Bowl in their first year. Now come back in the offseason with all those guys back, training together, doing offseason program together, mini camp, training camp. That team is going to be better this year. Okay, so as much as we talk about the Buccaneers and how they won the Super Bowl, they should actually be better this year than they were last year.
Well, I'll ask you about another team within that division who beat them twice last year, but they had Drew Brees, a Hall of Fame quarterback, behind center. Now they have Jameis Winston. We know Jameis Winston can really play at a high level, and he can drive you crazy sometimes with some of his turnovers. Do you think Sean Payton is the right coach to unlock the potential of what we expected Jameis Winston to be when he was taken first overall in the NFL draft?
Well, boy, Sean Payton is one of the best offensive minds that we've seen in the National Football League. I mean, you know, when Drew Brees – think about this. When Drew Brees came over from the San Diego Chargers at the time, there were legitimate questions about Drew Brees' viability as a starting quarterback. And all Sean Payton and Drew Brees did was become one of the most prolific coach-quarterback tandems in NFL history. Okay, Drew Brees is maybe the most efficient quarterback that we've ever seen quarterback in the National Football League. So Sean Payton is that type of dude. as a play caller. Now, we'll see if he's able to change a zebra stripe as it relates to Jameis Winston and his propensity for turnovers. If he can do that, that New Orleans Saints team is going to be right back in the thick of things again.
Oddly enough, it's just fun fact. Drew Brees was 27 when he came over from San Diego. Jameis Winston, 27 years old.
And here's the deal. Sean Payton made it clear that he wanted Winston back for this upcoming season. So to me, that says everything relative to what Sean Payton sees in Jameis Winston. And at this point in his career, Damian, obviously Jameis Winston is going to listen to anything that Sean Payton says. So will he be better than he has been? I think everyone would bet on that side of it being the case. The question is, though, Damian, how good can he be, and is his best good enough to get this team deep into the playoffs?
Well, listen, you don't get picked number one overall for, you know, just out of thin air. You got to be extremely talented. And again, as we harp on Jameis Winston, the last time he was a starter throwing 30 interceptions, let's not forget he threw for over 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns. So the dude can sling it all over the field. He just got to make sure that he does the number one thing, the number one priority of a quarterback, which is take care of the football. If he can do that, man, he could do some big things in New Orleans.
Last year's Super Bowl champ, the previous year, wasn't in this Super Bowl or wasn't in the playoffs. Now, when you look at what they're doing out there in the desert and, you know, trading for Rodney Hudson, going, you know, signing Beecham back, going out and getting A.J. Green to pair with DeAndre Hopkins, to pair with Christian Kirk, to pair with Larry Fitzgerald, are we looking at maybe a team that can be in the playoffs and make a deep run and potentially even win it? When you think about Kyler Murray, that system, those weapons, and J.J. Watt added as leadership on their team?
Well, I think, listen, I think the Arizona Cardinals, they were knocking on the door of the playoffs last year. And also remember, this year, it's an expanded playoff field. There's going to be seven teams in each conference this year. So when I look at the moves that the Arizona Cardinals have made, I can absolutely see them in the playoffs. I think the Arizona Cardinals are in the toughest division in football, the NFC West. Look at all the teams in the NFC West. You got the Los Angeles Rams, who I think are going to be better. You got the Russell Wilson, Seattle Seahawks, who's going to be good. The 49ers are going to bounce back this year because they're going to be getting a lot of guys back from injury. So they're going to be good. So that division alone is going to be a dogfight, but I could absolutely see the Arizona Cardinals making the playoffs this year.
Damian Woody joining us here on the Goodyear Hotline. You're listening to Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio. Bart Scott, Michael Leeds in for Alan Hahn. And, yeah, we were saying the same thing earlier, Damian, that we both believe that the NFC West will be the best division in football. And, you know, that's not necessarily a stretch compared to some of the other division. We look at some of the teams. And with that in mind, though, with the Russell Wilson situation, do you think the team can still do two objectives? One, satisfy Russell Wilson to the point that they're doing everything to give him the best chance to win, and also actually win with him while he is still in his prime to get back to another Super Bowl for this franchise. How easily will that be done for Pete Carroll and company?
Well, listen, I think when you talk about satisfy Russell Wilson, I think Russell Wilson, I don't think this has anything to do with football with Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I think what Russell Wilson has been alluding to is something that's 5, 10, 15, post-career. I think Russell Wilson wants to go to a blue-chip franchise, a franchise, like the ones that he talked about on his list, the Dallas Cowboys, the Chicago Bears. There's a reason why he listed those teams, because I think Russell Wilson has aspirations that are bigger than just staying in Seattle, where he's not getting as much visibility as maybe some, playing for a blue chip franchise. I think Russell Wilson is the type of guy, he wants to be like a Magic Johnson, wants to own the team, something of that nature. So I don't know if the Seattle Seahawks can necessarily satisfy him from that aspect. And as far as the pieces that they brought over,
yeah,
I mean, I don't think they do anything that'll change the landscape of the NFC. I still think the Los Angeles Rams are the team to beat in that division. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the team to beat in the NFC, in the NFC as a conference, and that's just what it is.
Now, I was going to go to real estate. It's all about location, 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 and we know happy wife, happy life. You know, I don't know why he didn't have any of the New York teams on his list, because you can put him on the Giants, and I think that'll be working. They'll take Danny Dimes back in a second. They already have a house out here. Sierra wants to sing. If she don't come out with a good album, she can at least book the Apollo. But that's a whole nother. That's a whole other story. I'm just saying, man. You know, her singing career is okay. You know what I'm saying? She ain't no Fantasia or nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
But it's all good.
They
got a lot of endorsement deals, stuff like that going on. She's a model, skincare products, hair, all that good stuff. But I'm talking about A-Ron. I'm looking out here, and like last year, the disappointment of them taking Jordan Love, not getting him any weapons. Are you surprised that they haven't even scheduled a visit with Will Fuller? I mean, the Will Fuller market has been crickets. We talk about Kenny Galladay. We talk about Juju. Yeah. We talk about a guy that if you put him on A-Ron's squad, I think it's game over, barbecue chicken to quack, to quote Shaq. You know what I mean? When you think about giving – and this was something that they inquired about last year. Do Green Bay have to get A-Ron
a weapon? I think if you're one of these teams, you're not pressed right now. You're not pressed. I'm going to tell you why. Because look at the wide receivers that are coming out in the draft. These wide receivers are coming into the league, Bart, and they're hitting the ground running. It seems like more and more every year these wide receivers are coming into the league, and it's not even a problem. They're just coming out here and producing. So these veteran wide receivers right now, that's why the market is depressed. You got a combination of salary cap going down and the pool of teams not being in the mix as far as free agency is concerned, and then you got a really good wide receiver crop that's coming in the draft. So these teams are just kind of sitting back and letting the market continue to go down, and someone's going to pounce at some point, but there's no need for teams to really jump out right now and make a move.
Yeah, but when you think about Green Bay, they have a quarterback that's ready to win now on a contract where you may have to get rid of him next year because you have a first-round draft pick that'll be entering his second year, you know, after this season, be going into his third year. So it may be time to either decide to give A-Ron an extension and figure out if you can use Jordan Love like Jimmy G as insurance and get him up out of there. But you got to get a receiver that you know can ball out, because this is the window before they have to pay all these other guys up there, Jair Alexander, Amos, all these young players that are playing at a high level. Arguably last year, Jair was the number one corner in all of football. You got to put some cheese on his taco pretty soon.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Bart. One of the last time you really known, you know, the Green Bay Packers is just going to free agency and splurge. That's really not their thing. Now I know they did that with the two rushers on defense,
yeah.
Right? I know they did that with the two rushers on defense, but you know, as a philosophy, they don't really get into free agency like that and splurge on players. They kind of stick to their guns as far as drafting and developing guys. So I don't really see the Green Bay Packers, you know, stepping out of, you know, their comfort zone in that regard.
Well, you look at the draft coming up. They pick, 29th, I believe. Can they get a quality wide receiver at 29 that can come in and make an impact? That's the question. Or do they really need to go with Bart saying and go get a proven veteran to come in there with Aaron Rodgers? And I feel as if we have this conversation every year, every so many years, that if only Aaron Rodgers had a better receiver to throw to. If he only had a better receiver to throw to. No disrespect to some of the success he's had with other receivers
like
in the past.
But in the NFC Championship, though.
Well, I'm with that, right? So it's like, if you are Green Bay, Damian, are you not looking at the window that you have here with Aaron Rodgers, and maybe you have to go against the way you've done things in the past and go all in for this moment in time?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Just for Aaron Rodgers' sake, because we know he's on the clock as far as his time with Green Bay, I would do it.
Okay.
I'm not sitting here saying that, you know, trying to argue against it. I would do it. I'm just talking about Green Bay and, you know, philosophically what they believe in. They're not the type of team that should just go out there and splurge on a receiver, but I would do it because you have the, you know, league MVP, and his time is running out in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers leaves the NFL with just one Super Bowl title, I think we will look back and like, damn, that was a little bit of a waste of, you know, one of the best players of all time. And that's how, if I'm him, I'm sure he's looking at it the exact same way. Damien Woody joining us here on Barton Hahn. Appreciate it, brother.
Hey,
appreciate you guys.
Before we go to break, and I apologize to Sierra, I don't want nobody coming after me. I know they be having them little minions. I don't want them all up in my DMs and stuff.
I mean, look,
coming
she,
at me.
She don't have the beehive like Beyonce, but she got some people. I don't think you want her coming for you quite like that. Quite
like
that.
I still like Fantasia better, though. I'm going to stick to that one.
Hey, exactly. Hey, for your DIY projects, you know Home Depot's always in your corner. And with the mobile app, the Home Depot can also be in the palm of your hand with digital tools like image search. Just snap a picture of something. The app will recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And the Home Depot's product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app, download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot, how doers get more done. You're listening to Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, the ESPN Plus app as well. Michael Lee's in for Alan Hahn. When we return, more NFL free agency talk and how it will relate to the upcoming draft. But I do have one question for Bart, and it is about Yeezys. That's next, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Back to Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus. He's Bart Scott. I'm Michael Eaves in for Alan Hahn today. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Protecting your small business is a big deal. Cover what you've worked so hard for. Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com. Had Damien Woody on the show earlier. Had Matt Miller. So much talk about the NFL and free agency and the draft and how it all goes into place in terms of how teams will do certain things. And Russell Wilson has been one of the names we've talked about so much since the season ended, Bart, in terms of what is his immediate future, some of the teams he might go to. And it's time now for audiophiles. And who better than Adam Schefter to give us a little more insight into a player such as Russell Wilson and what his future will be?
I think a trade is alive up until and through the first round in the NFL draft. If Russell Wilson is a Seattle Seahawk after the first round is complete, then he's a Seahawk, and I'll believe at that point in time he won't be traded. But we have not heard to date anything from the Seahawks where they have said, we are not trading Russell Wilson. And it doesn't mean they are. We just haven't heard them say that to this point.
And Bart, to Adam's point, until they say that, then other teams are welcome to come to Seattle with any type of package they see fit to try to gain Russell Wilson as a quarterback. There was reporting that the Bears did that exact same thing. Seahawks said no. So based on the timeline that Adam Schefter laid out, Bart, do you think that's accurate? If he's not gone by the first round, he ain't going.
Oh, absolutely. To quote Ted DiBiase, everybody's got a price. And, you know, when you talk about, you know, football, you're talking about draft capital and maybe players in return for a guy the caliber of Russell Wilson. But if it hasn't happened before then you're trading Russell Wilson for future picks in the future. You're not going to do that, trade him after the draft of future 2022 picks. So if it doesn't happen now, you're going to hold on and try to have one last run with Russell Wilson. We've seen them tease and go to the playoffs, just not quite able to get over the hump. Maybe they can do some things in the draft. They have about $17 million in cap space to try and improve the football team around him. But I think this is a marriage that's headed for divorce. I think we all see it. Russell Wilson, I think, identifies that in that division, they're now the fourth best team far as a talent aspect, and it's time for him to get off the train because he sees it's going straight for a bridge without a road.
Hey, you made this point earlier about possibility of him being in New York, maybe let's say playing for the New York Giants. He'd probably have a better chance of getting to the playoffs playing for the Giants from the NFC East than he would with the Seahawks trying to get out of the NFC West.
Before we go to that, ain't that kind of funny, though, the fact that you had Dak Prescott agent come out talking stuff about Russell Wilson talking about his client's job and then all that stuff, and then they can end up in the same division, and it's like mini-me. It's like alternate universe Spider-Man because you look at him like damn near the same player.
Right? That'd be just one more added piece of drama to add to the NFC East going into 2021 potentially. Now to the NCAA tournament. Again, we have a tournament this year despite everything that's happened with COVID after not having the tournament last year. Everything is going to be played in Indiana. Luka Garza, one of the best players in the country, leading Iowa, trying to get a championship before he graduates.
I came back to play with this team, these guys, and I came back to play in this tournament. So, this is something I've been locked into for a while now. And obviously not having this tournament last year has added to the motivation, since that moment. So, I think, it's very exciting to be here, and I'm just trying to be in the present moment, not worry about anything else. But just right now, and then focusing on Grand Canyon, taking one game at a time, and I think we have a chance to do something special if we play like we're capable of.
Bart, that's a good point to remind fans at home that for these players, especially the ones who were playing last year, so much of the motivation for this year is because they didn't get a chance to compete for a championship last year.
And it's crazy, right? When you think about Garza, he's arguably the best player in basketball. I know some people might say Kay Cunningham, but the fact that he's played this year and he still have lived up to the hype and been one of the best players in college basketball, and the fact that he's projected to go in the second round, it's like, damn. Like, so you can be a great college player, but it doesn't always translate to the pros, man. So listen, man, Godspeed to him, man. I hope he's able to do something because I think it's going to be a disappointing night on draft night. I hope the Spurs can kind of get him and maybe use him as the type of only way the Spurs could.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Popovich is a tremendous coach, and he can find value in everyone.
I will say this, to Luka Garza's credit, he has improved his overall game over the last couple of years as it relates to being primarily a post player to now a guy that can go out in a high pick and roll situation and knock down a three. However, the NBA and the college games are vastly different nowadays. Yeah. And if you're one of the 30 teams in the NBA, how do you value his overall skill set with your particular roster in terms of how you evaluate his draft position? A lot of teams don't see him as high as a player like a Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs or some of these other younger players in college basketball, but that's how it is now. The NBA draft is way more about long-term potential than it is about picking a guy in the top 10 who's going to be an immediate starter or maybe even an all-star in his first couple of years in the league. Speaking of the NBA, Giannis and the Bucks took down the Sixers last night, overtime. No Joel Embiid, but Giannis was still in a celebratory mood afterwards, and he wanted something to eat.
Hey, Giannis, not going to lie, I was a little surprised to see you not with a cheesesteak, given what the last week has been.
Somebody grab me one, please. Hey, give me the steak one with the mushroom and cheese, American cheese, please.
In Philly, they call that whiz whip.
Give me the – this is the whiz-whiz? I got the whiz-whiz. Whiz-whit? That doesn't sound right to me, though. Whiz-whit?
Whiz-whit.
Whiz-whit. Okay.
Oh, man.
That doesn't sound right to me. That sounds like it's kind of shaky, you know what I'm saying? But okay.
I feel him, so he's in Philadelphia. He's trying to acculturate, right? He's trying to become one of the guys, right? But come on, man. Whiz-whit, it sounds like he's talking like Whiz-Wiki from Transformers or something like that. And I thought he said Whiz-Wiki. He's like, come on, son. Keep that same energy when that bully come back and you come down that lane and he got something for you because you're going to get high-picked. He set himself up by sitting down on the court trying to show them up. He set himself up for a Jake DDT, a running into a really hard something. You heard Dwight Howard say he wanted Stone Cold stunner him, but I don't know if Howard's about that life. I think Joel Embiid is.
All right, first of all, English is not my man's first language, so some things can get lost in translation and enunciation when it comes to whiz and things of that nature, so I cut him slack on that. But, yo, why are these dudes who love celebrating a three in the second quarter all of a sudden now tripping on someone else celebrating on the court? Like, yo, win the game, All right, what about that part? And just ball, just play. Why are they so sensitive all of a sudden?
But you know the game wasn't over, and the fact that, you know, what he
even
did.
Even better.
What he did was equivalent to standing on the logo, right? So, you know, you know the T.O. come out there, stand on the logo. You see Juju almost lose his sternum if we're playing the Bengals because he disrespected their logo before. So, now I'm not saying, listen, he got what I'm saying is keep that same energy because guess what? They're going to see each other again.
Right.
And
yes.
When that bully in the middle, you got to go through that 270-pound grown-ass man, keep that same energy when you come through, Wiry boy.
I don't think Giannis has any problem with keeping that energy. I personally
a goon,
do not.
What's a goon to a goblin? We all used to know, and I love him.
You know what I mean?
I love him. You think about Mason. I love Mason, and I love Xavier McDaniel. But they didn't want no smoke with Oakley. The reports of Oakley smacking him before the game because he owed him some money, man. A goon and a goblin is two different things. And I'm just saying, Giannis may be a goon, but I think Joel is a goblin.
Well, I'm just saying, Charles Oakley's in a category all by himself.
Him and Rick Mahorn.
Dude, one of my favorite stories, and I'll tell it real quickly. It was NBA All-Star Weekend. I believe it was in New Orleans, and it was at Michael Jordan's party, which is clearly, you know,
of course,
one of the parties you want to go to. And Drake was there. Right, but he wasn't scheduled to perform, and he's there hanging out with MJ and Oakley and whatever. And Charles is like, "Hey man, what time are you going up there?" He's like, "Oh man, I'm not performing. I'm just chilling." And Oak just right in his face, "No man, what time are you going up there?" And you know Drake starts laughing, and he sees Oak is serious. He's like, "Oh, I guess I could do a couple songs.
I guess I'll go back to back."
Hey, and bro went up there and rapped over his tracks, dog. Like, if the show ended up being live, like, I'm like, thank you, Charles Oakley. He was the MVP of that party. But, yo, nobody messes with Oak, man. Nobody. Yeah, man.
Nobody but Dolan.
Right, well, but he didn't do it, did he? He sent a team of dudes to do it. You know what I mean?
Nah, I got you.
A little different. Hey, folks, college basketball season has reached tournament time, and that means the Wendy's Wooden Watch has announced the final ballot. Go to ESPN.com and search Wooden Watch for the list of the Wooden Award late season top 15 nominees, such as Luca Garza, Cade Cunningham, the John R. Wooden Award presented by Wendy's. And if you are filling out your bracket right now, look, we're all guessing, it's all a lottery, but Cade Cunningham is a bad dude. And when the comes to trying to make a deep run in the tournament, if your best player is better than the other team's best player, your team has the best chance to win. I'm just saying, don't be afraid to ride Oklahoma State deep into this tournament. You're listening to Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. He's Bart Scott. I'm Michael Leaves in for Alan Hahn. Plenty more to come up next here on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
On ESPN Radio, the ESPN Plus, ESPN app, and of course your smart speaker. We're brought to you by Progressive Insurance. He's Bart Scott. I'm Michael Lees, in for Alan Hahn today. March 18th, Bart, is the date, 2021. Do you know the significance of this date in sports history?
I do not. Can I phone a friend?
No, we don't have that time. 22 years ago, March 18th, 1995, is when Michael Jordan sent maybe the most famous facts in facsimile history that simply read, "I'm back." After his hiatus from the NBA when he's playing baseball, he comes back to the Bulls. He joins them midseason. They end up losing to the Magic in the NBA playoffs, but the next year he comes back and they win three more in NBA championships. And it was just 10 days after the facts, Bart, that he dropped 55 on the Knicks in the Garden, the double nickel game.
Love against the Knicks.
Right? And like, it was so classic Jordan to come back and not just be the star that he was, but to do damage to the Knicks in that first opportunity.
Way to go, Mars. Not the shoes, Mars. It's crazy.
Is it the shoes?
And you're talking about shoes, man. You have something about shoes that's crazy right now because we thought Jordan was the king of the sneakers.
He is. Okay, he is. There is no thought, Bart.
So when Jordan's are the most iconic shoe. Culturally,
yes,
iconic
it's him.
Shoe.
Okay.
Now, is it just in our community, the brothers community?
No, it's
or is
around
it in all
the world.
The world.
It's around the world. Go to China. Go to Japan. Go to even Eastern Europe where they have, at least in the communities, they have enough money to buy them. You're going to see Jordans.
But I thought the kids with money now is all on these Yeezys, which is why Yeezy is more than Jay-Z and probably more than Jordan.
$6.6 billion.
How you catch Jeffrey? Jeffrey had a 20-year head start.
$6.6 billion is what they're estimating Kanye West's worth, and it has a lot to do, half of it, with the Yeezy brand.
Yeah, man.
Which, like, look, I'm old, okay? I'm 48. I'm old.
I'm 48. I'm a man.
But I'm just saying, like, the thing about the Yeezys, I guess, all right, supply and demand, right? They're hard to get.
Yep.
But they're so ugly, man. Like, the shoes, the latest ones came out I thought were trash. The slides they got are like $500. They just look like elevated
the
Crocs.
Talking about the clouds.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying – I'm literally not trying to hate, but I just don't see the appeal. But, again, it is for a younger generation, but I think they're getting caught up in the fact that It's Kanye West versus, you know, just the shoe itself. With Jordan, it is the shoe and the man.
Yeah, if you want to make people go out and spend a lot of money on something – don't make it available to them. Make it only available and make it some type of mythical thing where you got to go make a back alley deal, like you're trying to get the crop report from Mortimer. You know what I mean? You got to go out there. You got to get him. That's why you get him on the secondary market, and he's done a great job in doing that. Right, and they're ugly, but they're, you know, it's like an artistic interpretation, right? Yeah. Me personally, the 350s are cool. Like, they're cool slide on shoe. They're comfortable. You know, stuff like that. The other shoes are kind of weird to me, but the boots are dope. The old school boots, not the new boots. I don't even know what they call them because I don't keep up with them. But, man, I mean, you got to tip your hat off to him, though. You know what I mean? He's done the work to make himself an icon like that. And it's crazy because, you know, like, he went out and tried to get him a celebrity woman just like, you know, Jay-Z did when he got with Beyonce. And it was kind of like the alternate universe couple, right?
Yeah.
But now he's past Jay-Z. For all of Jay-Z's business acumen, the fact that he found his little niche and was able to flip that thing to $6.6 billion, the richest African-American in all the world, I mean, you got to tip your hat to Yeezy on that one, man.
I have a hard time believing the numbers, no disrespect. And I'm also biased in the conversation because look what I'm rocking today.
Ooh.
Look what I'm rocking today. A Jordan 1 low with my Kentucky colors on it, of course. So, again, I am biased. I will say that. But just from an overall look, all the J's look better than all the Yeezys. I'll say that.
It's like watching your dad get beat up, right? Like, you just can't believe it. Like, you can't believe that somebody going to make more money than Jeffrey.
No way. But I know this. Michael Jordan owns an NBA team, and Kanye West is not.
Are you challenging Yeezy?
I'm just saying, what are you going to do with that money?
Go buy the Tampa Bay Rays. They always for sale.
There you go.
Upgrade.
Speaking of the Hornets, they are in L.A. to take on LeBron James and the Lakers. So you got LaMelo going against
LeBron. Big baller brand. When that shoe dropping, baby? I'm still waiting for my first order for 10 years ago.
Did you really order it, though?
No.
I
respect my ankles.
I didn't think so.
I want my Achilles tendon.
Hey, folks, if you miss any portion of the show today, you can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast available wherever you listen to podcasts. Hey, Bart, I appreciate the time, man. I had fun hanging out with you today.
Hey, brother, this was extremely fun, man. We'll do it some other time, man.
No doubt.
Swagger Jack that shirt, too. Two-button right. Minimal.
Bart Scott, I'm Michael Lees, in for Alan Hahn. You've been listening to Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.